receive it. In this season of Epiphany, we hear of the beginnings of the ministry of Jesus, and through the stories we hear in the Gospels, the revelation of the Christ, the unveiling of the Christ. Today we have the opportunity to begin a four-week series on Jesus' teaching from the Sermon on the Mount. Here, Jesus paints a graphic picture of those who are blessed, those who inherit the new age that he will introduce. This is the keynote address of his entire teaching. And this morning, just for a brief time, I'd like to make an introduction to this text. Last week we heard that after Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, and after hearing of the arrest of John by Herod, he withdrew to Galilee and began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." It's become commonplace among Christians to conceive of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, as Matthew says, as a rule of God that will come in the future. And often it is envisioned as something beyond human history, something in the age to come. The frightening corollary that I hear people saying about me in these difficult times that we face is that we can expect the destruction of the human race and of the earth itself, but that is the necessary prelude before God will make it all right. This kind of apocalyptic thinking is older than Christianity itself. It is found as well in Jewish and later in Islamic religion. So I find it very intriguing to look at this simple phrase, Jesus began to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven has come near. Close to us now, not something to wait for in the future. That was and continues to be a very different kind of message. And as we continue our readings through the Sermon on the Mount, we can expect these teachings to be very challenging and upsetting of much that we take for granted. And it is for that reason that Jesus says the proper stance for the hearers of this sermon is to repent, which means change your mind, change your practice. The scriptures we have heard today speak with a common voice of the challenge at the heart of all religious faith. We may wonder, we may explore, we may pursue, but we cannot fully understand. Because we have words to express many things, we're easily deluded into thinking that we have explained this or that. Someone has said that we need to remind ourselves constantly that the word God does not explain anything or define anything. It merely names that which remains utterly mysterious. And that's the message we hear in these readings from the prophet Micah, the psalmist, St. Paul, and then the Sermon on the Mount. Each of these lessons or readings is a call for us, or each of them is a powerful antidote to our usual pattern of perception, and each is a call to renounce our false illusion of autonomy. Each of these scriptures we've heard is a hint that calls for the free cooperation of the creative love within ourselves with the love of God. So what does Jesus mean when he says that the kingdom of heaven has come near? We have a clue in this first major teaching. Jesus proclaims, or he begins his proclamation, not as John the Baptist did with ethical imperatives, what we should do, but instead with simple blessings. And the blessings are startling because they describe people and situations and circumstances that are not desirable or popular in any human culture of any age. And then he connects those situations to the presence of God's reign. Those who have a deep sense of spiritual poverty are pronounced blessed. They receive the reign of God. Those who are overwhelmed by forces they cannot control will be strengthened. They are blessed. Those who are meek, those who are merciful, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are pure in heart, those persecuted for righteousness' sake, those who work for peace. Upon all of these, Jesus pronounces blessings of abundance. He says, they shall inherit the earth. They shall be called children of God. They shall see God. They are the ones in the lineage of the prophets before them. It seems from these teachings that the kingdom of heaven cannot shine forth very brightly in places where people think they have no need. For all of us, as we reflect on the power and authority we have to do things, we must hear the prophet Micah, who exclaims in tune with Jesus' blessings, "No offering, no sacrifice, no meritorious deeds of ours is adequate to obtain God's blessing. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" Christ is acting today to draw us into a deeper recognition of himself. In the presence of Jesus, men and women through the ages have come to acquire an unusual capacity to see with the eyes of the heart. What human wisdom can see only as pain or folly or pointless self-denial, Jesus reveals as the opening to beatitude, blessing, filled with the limitless possibilities of God. Jesus takes our portrait of life and repaints it in front of our eyes. He shows us how we ourselves see life. Then he peels away the canvas we have painted and shows us the canvas of God underneath. St. Paul tells us that with eyes trained on the kingdom and ears tuned to the gospel, God's foolishness is wiser than any human wisdom. God's weakness is more powerful than any human strength. This is indeed a startling story that God wants to get through to us, and it is indeed a message of hope. For many of us, maybe it appears as no more than a dream, but it is the vision by which Christ calls us to live in the face of darkness, and in the face of pervasive illusion of human autonomy. It is the core of our faith. It is the vision which will shape our world